we come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled, I Know Whom I Have Believed, a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through 1 and 2 Timothy. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry. And the last time I was supposed to share with you, I had a really bad vertigo issue, and Joy read my notes, so I bet she's really happy that she doesn't have to do that this time. Good to see all of you. My goodness, there's more ladies here than I thought. What a blessing. Good to have you all, and good to have everyone online. I'd like to pray really quick, though, for the Supreme Court confirmation that's going on right now for Amy. God, your word says that common sense and success belong to me, to you. Insight and strength are yours. You said that because of you, kings reign and rulers make just decrees. Rulers lead with your help and nobles make righteous judgments. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bring to you the Supreme Court justices before you and the Congress, Lord, knowing that they're appointed of man. I pray that you would influence, Lord, the selection of this replacement. Father, that you would be with Amy, that you would give her wisdom and discernment, Lord, as those questions are being thrown at her, Lord. Very long, detailed questions, Father God. I pray that she would see through all that and answer concisely, Lord, and to her convictions, Father God. We pray for this nation, Lord. We all love America, Father God, and we pray, God, that you would be glorified here. Lord, that you would bring souls to you again. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. She has got a tough road. I was watching a little bit this morning, and oh my goodness, those questions, trying to sort through those things. But God has given her great wisdom. So, all right, would you turn with me, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 4? I have enjoyed this book so much, and honestly, with Sandy's teaching last week, I was so convicted on a lot of fronts. But God is calling us. He's calling his people to repent and to make themselves right and prepared for the battle. So let's look at verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. In other words, these deceiving spirits, these people who are telling false lies and giving false teachings, their conscience is so seared. You know, when you get burned multiple times, it scars over, right? It becomes calloused. It's hard. It doesn't bother them to spread these false lies. And I'm praying that we would keep our hearts tender towards God's word and towards what the Holy Spirit has to say. John Norstad, a Northwestern University systems engineer and computer guru, once discovered the source of many of the computer viruses. In an interview with Peter Gorner, Norstad said, and I quote, "I went to a conference in Europe in 1992, and I met most of my counterparts in the PC antiviral community. One fellow was a Bulgarian who told us about the Bulgarian virus writing factory. Evidently, during the communist heyday, the KGB trained and paid PC programmers to break the Western copy protection schemes. It was an official piracy program meant to frustrate computer users on a global scale. Then, when the government fell in Bulgaria, all these people were out of work and bitter. So they formed a virus writing clubs and set about infecting the PC community worldwide. A significant percentage of the PC viruses came out of a group of dissatisfied hackers who had formerly worked for the communist," end quote. How many of you have had to deal with computer viruses? What a nuisance. Computer viruses are a lot like false teaching. Teachings about God and morality. They destroy what is valuable Where do all the false teachings come from? Well, according to the Apostle Paul, they come from deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. They intentionally pump error into the world and deceive and destroy people. And we see that going on today. It's been going on since Paul's time, Peter's time. It's been around forever. And the believers need to make themselves ready. As we get closer to the return of Jesus Christ, we'll see an abundance of false teachers. Ladies, we should not be surprised by what we're seeing. The climate changes and things like that, and earthquakes. Oh my goodness, if you look at how many earthquakes there are going on around the world, and plagues and sicknesses. Should we be surprised? If we know the Word of God, we shouldn't be, right? He tells us this is going to happen in the latter days. Don't be surprised, ladies. We can't be. We need to be aware and alert. The Holy Spirit said to be aware of three things in the latter days: the danger of departing from the faith, the danger of deception, and the danger of false teaching. Now, these things are still dangerous to us today because we're in the last days. We need to be on guard at all times. At all times, ladies. The Apostle John said, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." And that's 1 John 4:1. Even back then, he was warning us to be aware. We're encouraged in Ephesians 6:11 to put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because we're in a battle. Ladies, we're in the battle zone. We wear the armor of God so that we'll be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. The first thing that we were warned of by the Holy Spirit was that some will depart from the faith. Notice first that the Holy Spirit said, expressly said, he didn't just say it in passing, he expressly said it with emphasis and force. That's how important this is. He said it with clarity. In the latter times, some, not all, that gives me hope, some will depart from the faith. Some will depart from the faith. I'm encouraged by that fact that Paul said some, because it means I don't have to be a part of that group, and neither do you. Who doesn't want to be a part of that group? We don't want to be part of the some. This departing in the Greek means apostasy, which is the act of refusing to continue to follow, refusing to obey, or even refusing to recognize Jesus. And I think that's why Sandy's message last week touched me so much, because when you look at those things in your life that we need to get rid of and let go of, am I being obedient to the Lord in all things? And that was my conviction. This departing in the Greek means apostasy, which is the act of refusing to come to follow, obey, or recognize Jesus, and abandoning the essential teachings of the Christian faith, knowing that the foundational truths of faith are key. So what is the faith? It's a sound doctrine that we've been talking about. It's the good teaching of the gospel. It's a gospel free from error and falsehood. What can I do to ensure that I don't fall away from the faith? Well, first of all, I have to know what's real. Those that fall away will be giving heed to deceiving spirits. They're listening to deceiving spirits. We can't forget that Satan is commander-in-chief of the evil forces that are lined up against all of those who choose God's side. As soon as you said yes to Jesus, I hope you didn't think your life was going to be easy, because that decision made Satan really mad, and he was bound and determined to make you stumble and fall and be deceived. Don't let him win. The devil is our sworn mortal enemy. This is not a video game or a fairy tale, ladies. If we could see the real spiritual realm, we would probably, I don't even know. This is real. This is not some fairy tale. It's very real. And we're fighting a deceptive enemy. Turn with me to 1 Peter 5:8, would you please? Can we read that together out loud? Stay alert. Did I get the right one? Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like what? Doing what? You're a target, ladies. There's a big red target on you. But Jesus, and that's our hope. In 2 Timothy 3, we'll learn more about the behavior of some people, but in verses 6 and 7 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul does point out one game plan. Okay, we know the schemes of the devil. One game plan is that there are those false teachers who creep into households and make captives of gullible women who are loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. God points out very specific things that we need to be aware of. That's why it's so important to be in the Word all the time, to be reading and studying. So that's one of his schemes. He's going to creep into our households, ladies, whether it be through our children or at the door, knocking, ringing the bell, whatever. Paul knew that those dangers existed in his day and that it would continue to increase in the last days before the return of Jesus. It's one thing to have such an evil presence in the Lord. It's another thing to allow it into our homes. What are we allowing into our homes, whether it be someone knocking on our door or what we're watching on TV? The teaching on TV, on some of the Christian stations. Ladies, be aware. Please have your Bible in front of you if you're listening to any of the teachers. Be a Berean. The danger of deception, deceiving spirits, demonic spirits who seek to deceive men and women and entice them away from the truth, and those who are deceived will continue to spread that deception. How many cults have deceived, you know, men and women and children even into their cults, and they believe the lie, and what do? Because they have to? They go out and spread the deception. We need to be aware. Those who fall away will believe doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. These false teachers look for those who will believe or pay attention to almost anything if it's packaged just the right way, if it sounds just right for us, or maybe the way we tend to lean, we listen and we give ear to. Now, if someone were to come to you and say, hey, what I'm about to tell you isn't exactly what the Bible says or teaches, but it kind of includes some of it, would you listen? No, of course not. But are they going to do that? No, I don't think so. But see, that's the cunning of false teaching. They don't tell you that they're going to kind of follow Jesus' teaching. No, they give you just enough truth packaged with the lies. And if you don't know the real from the counterfeit, you're going to be deceived. How do banks and stores know the difference between a counterfeit 20 and a real 20 or a $100 bill? They do that, but they also handle the real. They don't handle the counterfeit. They handle the real thing in their hands. They touch it. They know exactly what it feels like. So when the counterfeit comes along, they know, and sometimes maybe not even with having to look. Ladies, we need to have the Word of God in our hands so firmly. We need to know this. I'm not asking you to be a theologian or to go to seminary school. God's Holy Spirit, God, I love this passage. God's Holy Spirit gives you the knowledge. He wants you to know. He doesn't want you to be deceived. Please don't be deceived. Take your study time seriously. Don't just say, you know, it's on your list. Oh, I got to do my scripture writing. I did my Bible study, check. Hide it in your heart. I'm getting off track. Okay. Be alert. Don't just be alert of the enemy's schemes, but be alert and aware of your own weaknesses. I had to really think about this for myself. We should always be doing our best to avoid getting trapped by those weaknesses and sins, which give our enemy a foothold into our lives and destroy us. You can see Ephesians 4:27. And in 2 Corinthians 2:11, it says that we are familiar with the devil's schemes. How are we familiar? Because we read the Word. How are we familiar? Knowing the good truth and sound doctrine of Jesus Christ. You have shown me by being here today that you take God's word seriously, that you love his word, that you want to know more about him. by studying his word this week that you desire to know him, that you don't want to be a part of the some who will fall away. As we mature in the word of God, we're not tossed and blown about by every wind or new teaching, and we won't be easily influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. You know, remember how Paul said to pray without ceasing? That can be done. When someone is telling you something at your door or wherever you're at, pray. Lord, is this real? Holy Spirit, I need you to show me. I don't want to fall away. As we mature in the word, we're not tossed about. Doctrines of demons are the specific teachings of these deceiving spirits. Pastor David Gusick points out that the first demonic doctrine spoken to human is found in Genesis 3, verses 4 and 5. There, Satan told Eve the first lie and the first false doctrine. He said, "Eve, if you eat the fruit from this tree, you won't die. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you'll be just like God, knowing both good and evil." Was that what God said? No. That's not what he told Adam. And I don't doubt that Adam relayed that to Eve, but Satan came in and started causing doubt with his words. The deceptions are still around us. We may not see or hear a physical serpent speaking to us. At least I hope you're not. If you are, then we need to talk. Let's look at one of the current methods that Satan's using to confuse and hook believers into false doctrines, the internet. How many people are sucked into social media right now or other websites? And there's so much stuff going on out there right now, you can't even tell what's true and what's not. There we find various platforms like social media, blogs, websites. My son recently found a post on one of those social media sites that sparked a discussion between he and I. The photo that was posted showed a picture of two rabbis. And under the photo, it said, "If these were truly God's chosen people, why would they call themselves rabbi when God clearly said in Matthew 23:8, but you do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren." Now, obviously, that's true. Matthew 23 says it, right? My danger that I see, at least, is in the question itself. If these were truly God's chosen people, the word "if" brings into question that God clearly stated throughout the Old Testament. The people on this post also tried to say that all the verses in the Bible speaking of God's people are referring to the Israelites and that they are separate from the Jewish people. Okay, can you see the danger in that comment? Read carefully what they're saying and test it against Scripture. My son's comment as we're discussing this, he said, "These guys post some things that are right on, but then some things that are way off." I thank God then for his discernment and that he showed my son those things. In some cases, it's a matter of people not understanding, and in other cases, it's a matter of them knowingly deceiving. Wow. It's such a joy to watch your kids grow in the Lord and say things like that, right? To not be deceived. Either way, it's dangerous, he says. The truth mixed with some lies is a tactic that the enemy has used for centuries. The first 15 minutes may sound really good. It's that 16th minute. You have to watch out for what they say after that. That means that we need to listen very carefully what's being said. Jesus told us to beware. In verse 3 of 1 Timothy 4, some of the false teachings going on during Paul's time were forbidding marriage, commanding people to abstain from foods, which God created to be received and with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. That's verse 3. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves." How many times do we look at someone, at their appearance, and say, "Oh, I want to listen to this person. They look really nice," or, you know. Appearances aren't anything. The devil comes in various forms. disguised as harmless sheep, but they're vicious wolves. You can see Matthew 7:15 and Hebrews 13:9. Hebrews 13:9 says, "Do not be carried about by various and strange doctrines. Examine what I hear and test it against the scripture." That was what the people living in the city of Berea in Macedonia did. When the Apostle Paul shared the gospel with them, they received the message eagerly, but examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul was saying was true. Could you imagine? We read Paul's letters and we just think, wow, he was amazing. And yet these people, knowing Paul, personally knowing him, they still examine the scriptures daily. God's word is always consistent, for he will never contradict himself, ladies. The only way to ensure that we are receiving godly teaching is to check it against God's word. Is it in line with what God has said in the Bible already? Does it contradict the basic foundations of your faith, of our faith? Verses 4 and 5, "For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." We can eat all things with thanksgiving and gratitude towards God. We receive the blessings of food, shelter, and comfort as gifts and not as rights. Everything we have is a gift from God, and he's made us stewards of our homes, of the food that we have, how we eat, what we eat. Paul said that nothing is to be refused. We are not limited by any kind of diet like some of the false teachers were proposing in verse 3. Paul simply is saying that what we eat doesn't make us more spiritual before God. That's all he was saying. Will my eating a whole bag of chips make God love me less? No, won't be good for my health. It'll taste good for that moment, but it's not going to look good on the scale. The only thing that it's going to do is affect my physical health. Will eating a whole bag of fresh veggies make him love me more? Nope. Of course not. We all know that what we eat may affect us physically, but that's not what Paul's talking about here. Again, with study through the word, you get to understand and to know things like this. You remember the story of Peter and his vision in Acts 10? He was up on that rooftop praying just before his lunchtime, and he fell into a trance. And in that trance, a sheet came down from heaven, and it was filled with animals, various creatures and animals that the Jews were forbidden to eat. Jewish law forbid them from eating certain things. And this sheet that came before him in the vision was filled with those creatures. And God said, "Rise, Pete, kill and eat." That's my husband's version. It's his favorite verse. "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "No, Lord," because it was against the Jewish laws. But God said to Peter, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, ladies. When God wants to emphasize something, he does it multiple times. He wanted to emphasize this important truth for Peter. And then the sheet was taken up into heaven. In context, God is telling Peter that not only is it okay to eat everything that God has made, but that every person, that every tribe, every tongue, he's not talking racism here. He's talking just his people, humanity, everyone is accepted by God, and that the gospel is available to everyone. Drop the legalism, drop the prejudices. And Peter took heed to that. Took him a while. There were some mistakes along the way, but nonetheless, he learned a valuable lesson that God came, Jesus came, to save everyone. Okay, verses 6 through 11. Let's look at verse 6 here. "If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed." These are all instructions to Timothy, of course, but they apply to us as the church. Timothy's calling was to instruct the believers, to feed them the word of God faithfully and carefully. But in order to do that, Timothy was to also nourish himself. Joy and anyone who comes up to this pulpit can't give us the nourishment of the word unless they themselves have taken in that nourishment. His word nourishes us when we're weak and we're weary from the trials that we sometimes face. It gives us what we need to grow strong in our faith, belief, and understanding of who God is, his nature, and his character. This is how we get to know Jesus, ladies, by reading his word. We learn of his character and what he's all about. Verse 7, but reject profane and old wives' tales and exercise yourself towards godliness. Now, Paul tells Timothy and us to keep focused on God's word, not on the teachings and opinions of people, but on what God says. Do I care that much about someone's opinion if it goes against what God has said in his word? No. I need to throw that out. Old wives' tales are fictional. They're temporal, but God's word is eternal. Verse 8, for bodily exercise profits a little. Not my favorite verse. Profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. In the ancient Greeks and Romans put a high value on physical exercise with the races and things like that. It was really important to them. But Paul tells Timothy that the same work and commitment that others put towards that physical exercise should also be put towards pursuing godliness. That's how important it is, because it's profitable for all things. Exercise is profitable for some things, but godliness is profitable for all things. It's valuable in both the temporal sense and the eternal sense. Pursuing godliness. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Again, Sandy taught us a little bit about that last week, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. The Christian life is described as being in a battle or warfare. Ephesians 6:12 and 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. It's also described here in Hebrews as running a race. Both of those things need physical strength and endurance. I did a search on building up endurance for races and things like that, and found a few things on a health and wellness website that I thought we can apply this to our spiritual walk as well. Exercising. Our spiritual muscles keep us focused and strong. We do this through prayer. Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Okay? Exercise. Get stronger in your faith. We get stronger in our faith when we study his word. Regular Bible studies will strengthen you and give you courage. You'll grow in confidence of God's truth. When we study his word, we learn to trust him. Proverbs 3:5. I bet that's a memory verse for many of you. When we are diligent in our study of God's word, we learn how to correctly explain the word of truth. If someone were to come to you and ask you about Jesus, would you be prepared to give the gospel, not just your testimony, but to share the gospel? 2 Timothy 2:15. And to know that if what we hear from others regarding spiritual things is what God has actually said. Again, that's Acts 17:11 for the Bereans. The other thing they recommended was meditating. Now, meditating on God's word to build strength in our minds where the enemy likes to often creep in and distract us, right? If our mind is not filled with God's word, if our minds are not filled with prayer, I don't need a show of hands or anybody yelling out, but think about what thoughts enter your mind. As soon as that happens, meditate on God's word. Take that thought captive. Romans 8:5 through 6 and Romans 12:2. And there's a whole lot of other verses, I'm sure. Music. How about music? How many of you love to sing? How many of you love to listen to music? Thank God Shannon was here. I just love those worship songs she picked. Listen to your favorite worship song, playlist, or CD. Sing praise songs when you're fearful. Sing when all you want to do is cry or give up. Sing. Shout a joyful noise unto the Lord. How many times have we read the songs of David, a man who was most of the time running away from his enemies, and yet he sang out to the Lord? Psalm 27, Psalm 59, Psalm 91. That's a good one for those who are fearful. I clung to that one for many years as a single mom. God is faithful. read his word. Verse 10, for to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach, Timothy. We trust in the living God. This is to be the great motto of the Christian life. Even as David challenged Goliath in the name of the living God, he stood before that giant. 1 Samuel 17, verse 26 and verse 36. The whole chapter, actually. So our trust in the living God empowers us to accomplish great things for his glory. Do we tell others of the victories in our life because we trusted in the living God? When's the last time you had a victory in your life? I don't care how little or how big. Share it with someone. Share it with your children, with your grandchildren, with your husband, with your parents, whoever will listen. Share those victories in your life because we've trusted in God. Are we setting up stones of remembrance to the glory of God for our children and grandkids, that they know and learn of God's faithfulness and that he's worthy of our trust? I think of an incident that happened with my daughter. I think she was maybe 9 or 10. She might have been older than that, now that I think about it, because I wasn't there. And she couldn't find the house keys to her dad's house. And she was freaking out. She was really, really scared. And she called me and I said, okay, we gotta pray. And we prayed that God would show her where those keys were, because she didn't want to get in trouble. And for whatever reason, we know the reason, she went to her dresser, opened a drawer, and there they were. How they got there, she doesn't know. She says, Mom, God answered my prayers. Those are the things that we want to remind them of God's faithfulness, even at the age of 11. My little 6-year-old granddaughter, the prayers that she prays at night, especially, at God, that I would have super duper awesome dreams. And when she wakes up in the morning and hasn't had a nightmare, she remembers that prayer. We need to really instill that in our kids. Okay. Verse 12, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Timothy was maybe no older than his late teens, early 20s. That's pretty young. And Paul encouraged him to continue on. When he joined Paul, he was about that age. But he had already distinguished himself as a faithful follower, and the elders noticed him. I love Paul's encouragement to Timothy. He said, don't let anyone think any less of you, Timothy, because you're young. Age doesn't matter when it comes to knowing the Lord, if you've got a strong faith and a walk with the Lord. I want to encourage you young women who are here today or watching online, if you're walking with the Lord and serving him in any capacity as a mother, daughter, wife, employee, serving in a church ministry, doing the work of God, or as Joyce says, keep doing great things for God. It's a reminder for me. Be an example by what you say, your word, by what you do, your conduct. People are watching. In love and in attitude, your spirit. In faith, in the sense of faithfulness for what you've been called to do, in faithfulness to God's word, and in purity. We are all, no matter what age, to be an example to other believers, those older or younger than us. The Lord always teaches me something new about myself, regardless of your age. I learn and I'm encouraged by how you love and how you act or react. I do watch. I'll just tell you right now. I do watch if I know you're going through a trial or something. I watch only for my benefit of learning and seeing what the Lord's doing in you, not to find fault or anything like that or weakness. I learn from you as I watch your faith in difficult times. I learn valuable lessons from my friend Jolene, who used to sit right over here. She was 80 some odd years old before she went home with the Lord. And I learned so much from her. And I'm learning a lot from Bree, our sweet little Bree, who's in her 20s, and the trials that she's going through. I'm learning from them, no matter what age. Verse 13, till I come, give attention to reading and exhortation to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Till I come. I love those three words. When I read the words, I remembered the parable that Jesus told of the 10 servants. How many of you know that story? Luke 19. If you don't know the story, read it, please. I'll just read verses 11 through 13. Now, as they heard these things, he spoke another parable, because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore, he said, this is Jesus speaking, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants and he delivered to them 10 minas, which is about 3 months' wages. So he gave them quite a bit of money. And the master said to them, do business until I come, or invest what I have given you until I come back. That's a parable. There's a truth there. Jesus has given us talents. He has given us something to invest in, to invest for him until he returns. Paul encourages Timothy to use the gifts that were given to him by God and confirmed by the leaders of the church. And we shouldn't bury those abilities that God has given us. Now, you may be sitting there thinking, oh, I don't have any talents or gifts. There isn't anything God can, you know, that I have that God can use. Rubbish. Absolute rubbish. God has gifted each one of you. I think it was Joy that someone was up here and said that if you look around, we're all a miracle, right? And in that miracle, God has anointed you. He has gifted you in some capacity, whether it's with children or talking to other people or greeting at the front door. It doesn't matter. Nothing is too small when it comes to serving the Lord. Verse 15, meditate on these things, Timothy. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. Okay, again, meditate on these things. The second time that I've mentioned that. Paul called Timothy to meditate on God's word and the work of God in his life. This is not the emptying of our minds, ladies. This isn't the Eastern meditation thing that I'm talking about at all. But filling our minds, not emptying it, filling it with God's word. Put your all into everything you do in your spiritual walk, in your spiritual growth. When you do, your progress will be evident to those around you. When you're standing strong, when you say, let me pray for you, and you pray for a sister who's hurting, those things are evident to those around you, and they see it. The same is true for you and I. The effort and time that you invest in prayer and in Bible study will produce godly fruit. You only get out of your study what you put into it. And I don't mean just this Bible study. I mean the study of God's word. You're only going to get out of it what you put into it. So think about that next time you're opening your Bible and you really want the Lord to speak to you. Be fervent about that. Verse 16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Chapter 4 opened with a warning against false teaching and deceiving spirits. Paul is telling Timothy that by faithfully holding on to a godly life and to the word of God, he will save himself from these false teachings, and he will also rescue the hearers from them as well. The word save here isn't referring to our salvation. It's simply saying it means to keep safe. Timothy, by adhering to these things and teaching others, ladies, by adhering to these things and teaching others around you in your realm, your sphere, you're going to save them from being fooled, from being deceived. You're going to keep them safe and sound, and you're going to rescue them from danger and destruction that the enemy so seeks to do to our children, our grandchildren. If you know what's going on in the public school system, oh, ladies, we have a lot of work to do. And we have to be praying, and we have to be in the Word. We have to share scriptures with our kids before they go onto that battlefield, because they're on a battlefield too. This is a quote from a writing in a devotional, Our Daily Bread, and it was written by someone with the initial CH, last name Tan. And they wrote, if we are true and faithful disciples of Christ, we will also increasingly show the fruit of the Spirit in our words and in our actions. Will be transformed, right? We will not be hearers of the word only, but we'll also be doers, James 1:22, as we allow the word of God to transform our lives. May God's word continue to be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, Psalm 119:105. And Father God, give us wisdom and discernment as we learn about you, so that when Lord, so that we won't be led astray, Father God, by false teaching. Help us to be faithful in sharing your truth and your word with others, that we would help them to draw closer to you, Jesus. Father, I pray for these ladies right now that, Holy Spirit, you would put a fire in their hearts, Lord, that you would fan those flames, Father, and their desire for your word would be just like it was when they first came to you, Jesus. I was so reminded of that. Shannon was worshiping, Lord. I just felt like the 70s again. It felt like revival again. God, I pray for this congregation. I pray for these women, Lord, that as we go out, we will minister to others around us. Father, that we would take seriously what's going on in our world today, Lord, that we would pray and fast, Lord, for our nation. God, help us to not be lazy in these things, Father, but that we would put the effort and invest in the time, as Joy encourages us to very often, invest the time in prayer and in your word. Father, we give you the rest of this time. I pray that the small groups, Lord, would just be a blessing to the ladies and that they would grow and encourage one another. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
In the power of your name, I'm giving up.